Looking for strategies to help you protect your portfolio in these uncertain times? Visit robblack.com. robblack.com, powered by EP Wealth.
Boom. That's the sound of expectations this morning as higher interest rates are moving. Why are interest rates moving higher on the 10-year, above 4.5% for the first time of the year? It's not what you wanted to hear. Stocks sink today at the open as inflation torpedoes rate cut expectations. The CPI came in at a hotter read than expected. We are now expecting 2 interest rates cuts this year. Maybe not until after July. The good news is, and I want you to keep remembering this, is the economy, jobs are doing great. On top of that, first quarter earnings or earnings seasons in the fourth quarter were solid. So earnings in the economy are fine. But inflation's sticky. And I'm not talking about the sticky icky. I'm talking about sticky inflation. So at one point in time, the markets fell about 1%, 1 to 2.2%. Now we're down about half of 1% on the 3 major markets, the Dow, the S&P, the NASDAQ. So that's not bad. Keep in mind, we're about 3% from all-time highs, 2% in some markets, 3% in others. That's not terrible. Now, the terrible news is the flight to a higher, or the fight for the easier, the market's easiest flight higher would probably be through lower interest rates. As we talked about yesterday, was the easiest part of the market move achieved. And now we have to wait for inflation to get a little bit lower, but it's getting a little bit higher. We still have to applaud what we've done on inflation over the last year. It's come down aggressively, over 6 percentage points. But, and this is the big but, it's not where we want it to be. And a lot like I've talked a lot about on this show during past episodes, the 1970s inflation went higher. It did not go straight lower. There was fits and starts of it going lower, then getting a little higher, then going sideways and got a little higher, then it went a little lower. That kind of is following the same track here. So the economy and earnings are strong. Inflation is sticky. That's the bottom line. Let's hit some other stories and let's hit the consumer prices in detail. Costco is selling as much as 200 million gold bars monthly. Ain't that something? Gold has turned into a cash cow for the big box retailer. 1 ounce. Do you know what 1 ounce looks like? It doesn't look very much, is what it is the answer. Costco is selling 1 ounce bars made of nearly pure 24 karat gold for about 2% above the spot price. Oh, one thing I want to mention too about the higher interest rates at 4.5%, with inflation at about 3.4%, you're actually beating inflation by staying in money markets and CDs right now. So it's not all bad news. And again, when you factor in that we're only 2 to 3% off from our all-time highs, it's not all bad news. It's just to make newer all-time highs, it's going to be tougher, in my opinion. Again, Delta just kicked off earnings season. And that stock is up 3% after beating earnings expectations and saying the good things about the next quarter. The average tax refund this year is $3,050. That's an increase of just under 5% from 2023. It's really not a refund. That's how much you overpaid that they're giving back to you. So you give the United States government a $3,050 free loan that you get back at the end of the year because you overpaid. So far, the IRS has processed 90.3 million tax returns and refunded 185.6 billion to taxpayers. ChatGPT and AI is going to be really, really good for the IRS, I would imagine. Cure to online screen addiction? More eclipses. During the eclipse, internet traffic plunged 40 to 60% from the previous week in states that were in the path of totality. Apple's India iPhone output hits 14 billion in a shift away from China. It now assembles about 1 in 7 of its phones in India. The ramp up suggests an accelerating shift away from China. I don't know. I can't make a case for investing in China because I monitor risk, and I just, to me, it feels a little bit too much like potentially Japan from the 1980s. Consumer price index accelerated at a faster than expected pace in March. Let's talk a little bit about it. CPI rose 0.4% in the month, putting the 12-month inflation rate at 3.5%. Typically, your wages don't go up 3.5% year over year, unless you work at McDonald's in California. I should mention that the federal minimum wage is it's pitiful. It's a little over $7. And that equals what, like, not even a Big Mac, Coke, and fries, right? Gas prices are at $3.62 per gallon, up 23 cents from 1 month ago. So energy rose in February, and it rose again in March. Shelter and energy costs drove the increases. On a 12-month level, we're up 3.5% on inflation, which it's in my range of acceptable. It's a little on the hot side. I'd prefer to see it under 3%. Fed wants it at 2%. I don't think we're going to get 2%, to be quite honest with you, unless the economy really goes south. The economy is just too strong. Jobs are too healthy. Shelter costs make up about a third of the CPI. They were higher by 0.4% on the month and up 5.7% from a year ago level. That's a problem. Joe Biden is in trouble because people can't pay their rents, can't afford their mortgages, and they tend to vote with their wallet come November. Food prices up 2.2% on a year-over-year basis. Not as much inflation in food prices. It was really the energy and the shelter. But inside of food, meat, fish, poultry, and eggs climbed, while butter, cereal, and baked goods declined. Unfortunately, I'm more of the meat, fish, poultry, and eggs person. So again, inflation is, it's dependent on what you're using, right? Food away from the home increased slightly under 1%. Used vehicle prices fell 1.1%. Medical care services rose 0.6%. So if you're elderly and seeing the doctor a lot, you're freaking out. This is the third month in a row of a strong reading, which means it is no longer a blip. With data, we tend to say 1 month it could be a blip. But with three, we have stalled disinflationary narrative picking up steam. We had a great 12 months, and then we had 3 months that it stalled. So if you're looking for an interest rate cut in June, probably not going to happen. July may not happen depending on the data. Teens are spending less this year than last year. Big brands like Nike, Elf, Cosmetics, Bath Body and Works, Fragrances, Ultra Beauty, where we buy these, Lululemon, Shoes and Athleisure, are some of the teenagers' favorite brands. 11% of teenagers believe the economy is getting better. 65% think conditions are getting worse. This spring, teens said that they were spending 6% less than last year. Teen labor participation rate is at 38.2%, well below the average of 62.7%, which means 60% of teenagers getting their pocket money from mom and dad, who are feeling it probably worse. Nike lost some of its popularity points to Deckers, Hoka brand, and New Balance. Teens spent more on cosmetics, perfume, and hair care than they did last year. These are all companies that do well in the stock market because teenagers have the most discretionary money. Chick-fil-A, McDonald's, Chipotle Mexican Grill are their favorite restaurants. Starbucks, undisputed favorite coffee chain. Big event coming up next month in May on the peninsula on a Thursday evening. You can learn more about it. It's Wealth Preservation Retirement Planning Event at robblackshow.com.
Don't want to work forever? Check out the Retirement Planning Guide on robblack.com. That's robblack.com, powered by EP Wealth.
So I just did a quick story on teenagers and their favorite brands, and teenagers tend to be resilient spenders. They tend to drive consumption. They need new clothes. They grow. They need all the statements that keep them fashionable amongst their peers. So names like Nike, Elf, Bath Body and Works, Ulta Beauty, Lululemon are some of the teenagers' favorite brands. And if you take a look, for instance, Nike has lost popularity to Deckers, Hoka's, and New Balance. And it's not a surprise to see Nike stock has lost some luster. Elf Beauty is teen's favorite cosmetics brand. Stock's been on fire. It's been great. Now, again, on a 2-3 year basis, it looks fantastic. Sometimes on a 2-3 month or 2-3 day basis, it doesn't. Teens ranked Chick-fil-A, McDonald's, Chipotle, Mexican Grill as their favorite restaurant. Starbucks is by far and away their favorite coffee chain. You can get a lot of insight from teenagers. Now, another, I think this is a teenager thing, but someone's going to tell me it's a different. WrestleMania 4 shattered multiple WWE records. It's become the highest grossing event in company history. Publicly traded stock with some interesting ties to Netflix next year, as a lot of their programming is moving over to Netflix in 2025. WrestleMania 40 broke multiple WWE records. It took place over two nights in Philadelphia. The gate for the event was up 78% compared to the previous record set during WrestleMania 39. 145,298 people in attendance across both nights. Company says viewership was up 41%. Merchandise sales up 20%. Those are great numbers that if you could invest in, you would. But when I tell you you're investing in SmackDown and Raw and Monday Night Raw and Stand and Deliver and NXT and WWE, you might go, huh, I don't think so. But yet, just the numbers, you would. So if you're a quant person could pick stocks just with numbers. On social media, 660 million views were generated across WWE's social channels. The WWE YouTube channel had its biggest day ever with 67 million views in 24 hours. What's that tell you? It's got to tell you something, right? Some parts of our economy are resilient. And it tends to be with younger people. Me, as I am aging towards retirement, I'm more like, huh, these inflation numbers aren't great. Now, again, I'm getting more for my cash savings than inflation, so I love that. But I still feel the pain at the gas station. I still feel the pain on flights. I still feel the pain on hotel rooms. I don't like that. But again, I'm not the teenager. And as an investor, you got to go where spending happens. I'll give you another comparison to teenagers. It's the opposite of me. It's an enterprise. It's a business. They have a lot of cash. They're not borrowing a lot of money, so their borrowing costs aren't hurting right now with higher interest rates. Companies like Facebook or Meta, I'm sorry. Companies like Amazon, Google, Qualcomm, Apple all have lots of cash. They don't have a lot of borrowing costs. So the higher interest rates don't affect them as much as it does small cap companies. That's why today the NASDAQ growth stocks are down 1%, whereas the Russell 2000 small cap companies are down 2.3%. I keep wanting to like the Russell 2000, but it's not going to outperform until interest rates come lower by the Fed, not just by market conditions. So we were down about 1-1.5% in most of the markets. Now we're down. We've recovered about a third of our losses at the opening. This is not a hell to pay kind of day. This is not a market crash. Again, strong economy, strong, decent earnings. I'm going to say decent, not strong. And higher interest rates, that hurts the housing. Some of the closes in my neighborhood recently had a multiple bids and, you know, going 15% over ask. I was like, sweet. But today's news is basically, okay, so interest rates aren't going to fall as much, as fast as we want. They're still supposed to trend two rate cuts lower. If we see inflation drop aggressively, maybe three this year. But back in December, we were expecting six. And that's when we were playing the happy days are here again. Da, 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 da. And now we're down to expecting two. And it's like, eh. So how do interest rates affect the world? Cost of borrowing. It becomes more expensive for businesses and individuals to borrow money from banks. This can lead to reduced borrowing for investment purposes, such as starting new projects or expanding businesses. It hurts our government debt. Higher interest rates can increase the cost of servicing government debt. That's not a good thing. As government spends more on interest payments, it may need to cut spending in other areas or raise taxes. which can have implications for how people spend or for government programs. I'd say for economic activity, really. Impact on investments. Higher interest rates can make bonds and other fixed income look more attractive. I told you money in my money market's making more than it was 2 years ago when it was making almost zero. It's now making 5.5%, and inflation's coming in at 3.5%. I'm happy. Rarely do you get interest rates that are that much higher than inflation. If I was a 65-year-old man and not earning money anymore, I'm thrilled, except for the inflation's hitting my medical cost, right? See, there's no right answers. There's just compromises. Higher interest rates hit the housing market. Higher interest rates equal higher mortgage rates, making it more expensive for individuals to buy homes. This can reduce demand for housing, slow down the construction industry, and potentially lead to a decline in home prices. It has a ripple effect throughout the economy, affecting industries like construction, home furnishings, real estate services, and more. It can decrease consumer spending because your higher interest rate can lead to higher costs for your credit card debt servicing, adjustable rate mortgages, and other forms of consumer credit. Consumers tend to cut back on spending to compensate for the increased cost of borrowing. Crazy, right? Interest rates do matter. You can find me online at robblackshow.com. That's robblackshow.com.
What's the best way to choose a financial advisor? Download our guide at robblack.com. That's robblack.com. Powered by EP Wealth.
Talk a little tech. Because I know that's something people do like to talk and have in their portfolio. I think it's important to always stay abreast of what's happening and potentially why. NVIDIA said yesterday that their new Gaudi 3 AI chip tops NVIDIA's H100s in speed and cost. The good news for your Intel is that's good news. They have something that's being talked about. The bad news is they're still a generation behind NVIDIA. The Gaudi 3 artificial intelligence accelerator chip is highly competitive. The company contends it's both faster and more efficient than NVIDIA's H100 GPUs and highly competitive with NVIDIA's recently unveiled Blackwell-class GPUs. Gaudi 3 will start shipping later this year, replacing Intel's current Gaudi 2 chip. Intel says it has commitments from four of the most important players in AI servers, Dell, HP, Lenovo, and SMCI. Intel asserts the Gaudi 3 is up to 1.7 times faster than NVIDIA H100 at training large language models and up to 1.3 times faster for inferencing than the NVIDIA H200, which is used specifically for inferencing rather than training. Gaudi is up to 1.5 times faster than NVIDIA's H100 for inferencing applications. It's 2.3 times more power efficient than NVIDIA's H100 running large language models. It's going to get a little bit more competitive out there. The AI market's still growing fast. NVIDIA is growing earnings at 40% with a PE of roughly 30 times earnings. That growth rate on profits will slow down. I want you to have a trade exit strategy for NVIDIA, and I want you to have a long-term strategy for what to do with NVIDIA. My long-term strategy is to use options to create a option overlay so that I can generate income on my position that complements the performance potentially year over year of the equity stock. I'm not just buying and holding. I'm on a different level than just being retail. If you don't know how to do overlay option strategies, which I certainly don't, I have a firm doing it for me. You really got to have a plan. Chip making giant NVIDIA has been entered into correction territory. Its shares are down 10% from their most recent all-time closing high. That's technically correction territory. I don't mind corrections. I know what it's up for the year. I know what it's up for 2 years. I know that 3 years ago, it wasn't a very good year, and it was a buying opportunity. The company makes GPUs, graphic processing units. They're used for compute intensive AI applications such as OpenAI's ChatGPT chatbots. Its server chips are also a key component of data centers and video games. Company's financial performance has been on a tear. It's reported a 486% jump in non-GAAP earnings per diluted share in December. Stock has come under pressure in the last 2 weeks. Closed in an all-time high of $9.50 on March 25th. The exact reason for the downturn, it's not an exact reason. It could be some people are taking profits after a wild ride of more than 200% in the last 12 months. It could be that Intel unveiled that new AI chip called Gaudi 3, aimed at powering large language models, the cornerstone technology behind generative AI. Analyst at DA Davidson said in a research note that they expect a shrinking of the size of AI models, including alternatives like Mistral's large model and Meta's Llama system, to drive down demand for NVIDIA stock over time. Although NVIDIA should deliver a spectacular 2024 and perhaps 2025, they continue to believe that there will be a significant cyclical downturn by 2026. This doesn't sound crazy to me. This sounds about right. Maybe it's a little early, but secular changes ultimately become cyclical, especially when you're in hardware. Now, NVIDIA is doing a lot to try to combat that by creating a software ecosystem that's 10 plus years in the making. It's not new to it. It's pretty dominant. But hardware is probably my least favorite tech investment in the long term. I'd rather go after semiconductor equipment. I'd rather go after social media. I'd rather go after services. I would have little to no interest in Apple if they didn't have the services, for instance, because the hardware, I think it gets, technically, it should get smaller, cheaper, faster every year. But in the case of Apple, at what point do they stop raising prices? Computers were once exorbitant prices. And then in the 1990s, we started talking about $4,000 home computers, and then $3,500 home computers, and $3,000 home computers. I'm pretty sure you can go get a pretty decent computer as far as what you can do with it, minus high-end video gaming, for under $1,000. And if you're just doing internet, you could probably spend as little as $500. Of note, just have a plan on NVIDIA. So I have a plan. I've communicated it very, very clearly to you. I think it has one more quarter where you're going to see the PE shrink. And then you're going to see a high PE that also has a slowing growth rate. And that's called a PEG ratio, a PE to growth ratio, which again is something I haven't talked about on this show very often, but it's not bad to talk about. The PEG ratio is, it's not slang, but it's short for price over earnings to growth. It's a financial metric that you can take a look into seeing how strong a company's earnings growth is. You divide the price to earnings, the PE, of a stock by its expected earnings growth rate. So it's pretty simple to figure out. The PE ratio alone doesn't provide information about the growth prospects of a company. This is where the PEG ratio comes into play. By dividing the PE ratio by the expected earnings growth rate, the PEG ratio helps investors assess whether a stock is overvalued, undervalued, or fairly valued. Typically, a PEG ratio below 1 may suggest that the stock is undervalued, while a PEG ratio above 1 may indicate that it's overvalued. Elsewhere in tech news, Apple's doubling its India iPhone production to $14 billion of phones. It's shifting away from China. This has big ramifications. China's getting more and more isolated. Apple and China still have a fairly workable relationship, although China is moving to push citizens to like the Huawei phones more so than the Apple phones. But Apple has enough jobs in China that Chinese government doesn't want to totally strain the relationship. But I would say it's a soured relationship, soured leaning towards strain next. Apple's worked to diversify its supply chain. It's expanded production in Vietnam and India. It's historically relied on China for manufacturing. 1 in 7 phones now are made in India. That's twice the amount it produced there last year. There's a company called Pegatron They've assembled about 17% of those phones. Foxconn produced about 67%. China remains crucial for Apple, but sales have been off to a rocky start this year. iPhone sales in China dropped 24% in the first 6 weeks of 2024. Apple faces significant competition from other smartphone vendors like Huawei. And get this, let's talk about AI one more time in the segment, because it is a tech segment. Domo arigato, Mr. Roboto, all right? The hardest worker in college these days might be ChatGPT. Over the last year, high school and college students turned in 22 million papers that use some form of generative AI. That's according to data from Turnitin, which detects plagiarism and AI in schoolwork. The professors have this, and they know how much you're plagiarizing. It's been about a year and a half since generative AI took tools with things like ChatGPT, and it flooded the English departments. They're forced to add bots next to Spark Notes as things to look out for. So Turnitin and other education companies created AI detection tools for teachers. Turnitin has reviewed over 200 million papers. Of those, 11% of the papers may be 20% written by AI, while 3% of papers contain at least 80% AI-generated writing. I've told my kids they can use AI to correct grammar only, or to spot grammar, and then they have to change it by hand themselves. It can't do the work for them. There are false positives that can harm a student's academic career. Software itself may even contain bias about what it thinks is AI written. A study last year found that 7 AI detecting tools had a 61% false positive rate while reviewing exams that test non-native English speakers applying to colleges.
One.
God, I got to imagine if I didn't speak English as a native language and I was trying to go to college in America. That would stink. Purdue told instructors to be careful about accusing students of using AI with only Turnitin as proof, while other schools like Vanderbilt, Northwestern, Montclair have told educators to stop using the AI detector entirely. The software itself has been described by administrators as a black box with no clear methodology of how it detects bot-written content. 30. I had a professor in college that for our final paper, we didn't have a paper. We had to go in and talk to him for 1 hour about the book. Or the novel in this case. I think you're going to see more and more of that happening. AI in education. It's hodgepodge at catching people.
10.
You can find me online at Rob Black Show, Twitter Rob Black Show, YouTube Rob Black Show. Check out robblackshow.com and check out the events. Got a big event coming up in May in the peninsula in Palo Alto.
You are listening to the Rob Black Show podcast. For more information on EP Wealth, visit robblack.com. That's robblack.com.
So the key inflation report for March came in hot. Trying to wrap this up. I would say energy and shelter were the problematic areas. Food, less problematic. Food's averaging about 2.2% year over year. So we could almost declare victory there. Taking a look at the markets, we opened lower. We gained about half that percent loss. So we went from down about 1.4 to about 0.75%. Now we're back down to that lows of the day. Russell's the big loser, down 2.3%, whereas the NASDAQ's down roughly a little over 1. The S&P 500, a little over 1. But the Russell's 2.3% down. Small businesses need to borrow money. Because they don't have the cash flows of big businesses. And that hurts. Putting that in perspective for you as best as I can. Let's talk a little bit more about this. Treasury yields are at 4.5%. Great for savers, bad for investors. I've said this for years, and it's almost stupid. You tend to favor stocks. 3.5%. You tend to favor income 4.25 to 4.5. You could say it almost simpler. 4% somewhere where it's a little bit on both sides. But over 4%, you prefer income. Under 4%, you prefer stocks. Now, that's not on a day-by-day basis or even a month-by-month basis, but that's my long-term easiest way of trying to explain it to someone who doesn't know a lot. Gold's a little bit lower today. 10-year Treasury sits at 4.499, just under 5. Isn't that funny? Bitcoin's a little lower today, sitting at 68,573. Gold and Bitcoin should be having better days than they're having. The stock market should be having a worse day than it's having. Just trying to give some perspective on this. Again, the economy's fine. We're not losing jobs. When we do, that'll give the Fed a chance to cut rates, but we're not losing them. Wages have stopped going up at a hot inflation rate. Now they're just going up at a slightly moderate inflation rate. I'm not worried about what we're seeing. I think it takes us from 6 rate cuts that we were expecting in December. Not we, the market. And when I say the market, Fed fund futures, which Fed fund futures aren't a terribly great indicator. They're fun to look at. They're fun to use. But it's not the end all be all in any way, shape, or form. Today, we're seeing the reaction to the hotter than expected CPI data. We're seeing a sharp increase in market rates. We're seeing some gains in some mega cap names, which is limiting the downside to the S&P 500. Now, again, when I say gains in big tech companies, you're seeing NVIDIA up 1.6%, up to $13. They got plenty of cash, lots of demand. Meta, also known as Facebook, plenty of cash, lots of eyeballs on a monthly basis, advertising rates going higher. They're up $2 today, up 0.5%. Google is down for the day. Apple slower for the day, Amazon lower. So it's only really two big tech companies that I could find that are bucking the trend of the Magnificent Seven. And I don't really follow Tesla. So let me just pull up Tesla real quick, see how she's doing. I've decided Tesla's a she. Down $5 today, 171, 52 week low of 152. So it's well off the low. But they too are having problems. When you buy a car, sometimes you finance it, right? You get the whole idea there, I think. Yesterday, we talked about Blackstone buying into the housing market. And a little update on that. They did a $10 billion bet on property. They bought a real estate investment trust, an apartment income REIT known as Air Communities. They paid a 25% premium. And then the next day, you see inflation go higher on shelter, up over 5% year over year. But you see interest rates go up a little bit, and you're seeing Blackstone take not a big hit, but down almost 4% today because the value of real estate goes lower as interest rates go higher, ultimately because that drives purchasing prices. But how much can you afford is based on how high your interest rate is. It's very interesting to note. Credit card companies are going to start throwing new credit card fees at you, and they'll be sneakier than ever. Ultimately, MasterCard and Visa hit and reached a $30 billion settlement with merchants agreeing to cap credit card interchange fees. You will see the industry react to this by figuring out ways to throw in more fees. For consumers, the changes could be a decent deal. Late fees cost American families $14 billion a year, and it's the same rule will save people about $10 billion annually. The swipe fee cap will save merchants some money on for a while, which could, in theory, be passed on to their customers. Not sure if that'll happen. But there's good reason to think that in the long run, credit card companies will figure out a way to figure out new fees on you. And you'll see a downgrade in credit card rewards. I myself use my credit card rewards every single month or quarter, in large part because I had a friend who had a lot of Southwest miles, and she was bummed and dismayed when Southwest cut what she could use her points for. She was saving it up for like a honeymoon or something stupid, and she should have been using them on a more regular basis. But again, I don't even think the Southwest credit card is all that good, to be honest. But use your credit card rewards, because at any point in time, any of the credit cards could say, you know, you've got 100 million points, but we're going to cut those in value how much you get from like $1.2 per 100 points down to maybe 80 cents. So you got to be very careful on that. Big event coming up. Go to robblackshow.com to learn more about it. I am wrapping up my live events. I will be done probably by the end of next year. We'll see. That could always change. But you can sign up for the one in Palo Alto coming up May 9th at robblackshow.com. That's robblackshow.com.
Visit the Rob Black Show online at robblackshow.com. Listen to archived podcasts, market updates, and information from EP Wealth Certified Financial Planners online at robblackshow.com.